Well, today we are going to have part 11 in this series, Healing the Brokenhearted. This might be the last sermon in this series. Unless God shares some more with me, I believe this will be the last sermon. We'll know by next week. Amen. But we've talked a lot about healing the brokenhearted, those who have been through an event in their life. Could be anything. Something that has caused despair, depression, anguish, heartache. You know, for some kids, teenagers, high school age kids, breaking up with a boyfriend or girlfriend can be something so deeply traumatic it can carry on for years. And oftentimes as adults, we look at teens and see how they have their boyfriends and girlfriends. Sometimes they go through these breakups and all that. And, you know, it's kind of interesting how that as adults, we tend to forget how deeply those feelings can be in high school for a boyfriend or girlfriend. And we kind of develop this thought, well, they really don't understand what love is all about. But at the same time, they do. They understand as much about love as they can possibly understand at their age. And to them, you know, they absolutely are in love with Johnny or Susie. Then when a breakup takes place, it can be especially devastating for the girls. And this is something that can carry on for years. And it can affect future relationships. Well, see, even that kind of a thing fits into this series. Whatever has happened that's caused a person to struggle on the inside, this series is designed to help out. So it doesn't matter what the problem is, what happened, what took place, doesn't matter. If you're struggling on the inside with, you know, heartbreak, depression, anything, this series can help you. And the one thing that I want to make sure you understand is that, and I've shared repeatedly in this series, how that in Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus has made the statement that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. That is a permanent healing. Permanent. When that healing takes place, you do not need any kind of drugs for psychiatric or psychotherapy, drugs, whatever. You won't need it. Healing is healing, whether it's, you know, physical healing or the inner healing that we refer to. And the one thing I want to make sure that you understand is that I realize that if a person is not going to seek a Luke 4:18 healing on the inside, then they probably do need the therapy and the drugs. Because you got to have something to help you get through. And see, with this Luke 4:18 healing, it's not a matter of getting through, it's a matter of being healed. Drugs cannot heal you of this. And we'll talk a little bit about the drug thing here later on in today. Therapy cannot heal you. You say, well, yeah, but it's helped this person and helped that. You're right, okay? You hit the right word. You correctly addressed it. Helped. I am talking about a healing that takes place on the inside. Now listen, it's a kind of healing that can only come from God. You cannot get God-quality healing from a therapist. It's impossible. You cannot get God-quality healing from drugs. It is impossible. All of these other things can indeed help, but they are not a substitute for the total complete delivering, that's deliverance and healing that is revealed in Luke chapter 4:18. What this series is doing is presenting options. Really, an option. An option to the way the world handles problems. To the way that the body of Christ has adopted the world's way of handling problems. This is an option. If you want it, it's there. But nobody, and not even God, is going to force it on you. You have to want this. And that right there is going to separate a lot of people, because there are some folks that will want it, and there are some folks, they've settled into a place of almost, it is deception, into thinking that living with my pain is a way that I have to live. Well, it's not. And as I've shared before, as long as you continue to embrace heartache, depression, anguish, despair, whatever it is, as long as you continue to embrace that, you have built a wall between yourself and God. I'm not saying He doesn't love you, but what I'm saying is you have built a wall and God can't take you beyond that wall the way He'd like to use you in His kingdom, to bring about the fullness of His ministry calling in your life. Now, here in the last few weeks, we've talked about the power of God's Word when it comes to this healing. The Word of God sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit. We talked about how that the soul is the place where all of this, these negative feelings, if you want to call them that, that's the seat. The soul is the seat of those things, whereas your spirit is the seat of God's life, and your spirit is the place from which and through which God works this healing. You don't get it through your soul. Man's therapy and drug therapy can only treat the soul. God's anointing flows out of the spirit to heal those things in the soul, if you will. And we talked about the Word of God and how confessing the Word works in bringing about this healing. We also talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how that praying in the Spirit helps us to access the anointing that brings about the healing. Well, we want to talk about another aspect of the healing. And today we want to talk about healing through worship. I want you to look in Isaiah chapter 61. That's where we will start. If you look here in Isaiah chapter 61, we've looked at this before in the series, but we want to see it again today from the perspective of worship. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, verse 1, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up or to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now, I've shared before how that relative to this teaching, where he says here, to bind up or to heal the brokenhearted, then to proclaim liberty to the captives, there are a lot of people that basically are held captive to their emotions. They're held captive to depression. They're held captive to the feelings of loss and so forth. And the opening of prison to them that are bound. Well, again, he's talking about concerning this teaching, this series, being set free from those. Listen, maybe you've never experienced this or met anybody like this, but there are Christians out there that feel like they are shackled to depression. They feel like they are imprisoned by despair and loss. They feel like there's no way out. Now, you may not feel like that, and praise God if you don't. And my declaration is, in Jesus' name, you'll never feel like that. But there are believers who are, born again, even filled with the Holy Spirit, who feel this way. Well, it's a prison. It's a deceptive prison. And it says right here, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, anointed me to get you out of this mess. I mean, to completely get you out of this mess. And verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Now, I want to point something out here. Where he says to appoint unto them, that means to set in place a standard, to appoint, to set something up, to construct, to erect, to build something that cannot be torn down. Something that cannot be changed. Something that is eternally permanent. Okay? That's what this word appoint. So to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Okay, well, why are you appointing something unto me? What is it you're appointing? What is it you're establishing? Why are you doing? Here's why. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified, and they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Now look here. Now, we're talking about healing through worship today, so that's what we're going to be focusing on, is praise and worship. A lot of things we're going to read in Scripture today, but the focus is on praise and worship as it relates to healing the brokenhearted. Now, he says, to appoint unto them. So, he's saying to establish something that is permanent. To erect something that will not collapse. To put something in place that cannot be changed. Okay, now what is it that God has put in place that cannot be changed. Look here in this verse, later on in verse 3. It says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. See that? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So what he's telling us is that I, God, have taken this thing called praise, this thing called worship, and I have appointed it to be a standard erected and constructed that will be permanent, that cannot be torn down, that cannot be changed. I have anointed this standard. And this standard of praise, the standard of worship that I have appointed, has been appointed unto you for the spirit of heaviness. In other words, what he's telling you right here is this. Are you dealing with heaviness on the inside? The heaviness of depression, the heaviness of despair, the heaviness of anguish and loss. Are you dealing? Are you struggling with this? If so, I have appointed and anointed praise for the relief of that heaviness. I've anointed it. And it's going to stay this way permanently. In other words, he's saying, look, if you're struggling with this, if you've gone for years or a day with a spirit of heaviness, he says, I have appointed a standard of praise that cannot be changed. So in other words, we can stand up and say, well, I don't believe in all this praise stuff. And God's going to say, well, that's just too bad for you because I have appointed it unto you for the spirit of heaviness. I have appointed it and anointed it for the spirit of heaviness. So therefore, if we can get us convinced to do this, to accept it, believe it, and do it, then he's telling you that praise will combat, fight, attack, bring about relief from the spirit of heaviness. And how many Christians have we encountered in our own lives who have talked about, well, I just have this heaviness. You know what I'm talking about? I just feel this heaviness in my life. And God says, but I've appointed the spirit of praise. I've appointed praise and worship. I've anointed it to help you. Look in verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. You say, what's that got to do with me? He's appointed praise to spring forth out of you so that it begins to bud with the fruit of righteousness to overpower the heaviness, to overpower the depression, all the stuff that you're going through. In other words, there is no depression associated with righteousness. There's no heaviness associated with righteousness. There's no loss associated with righteousness. And he's saying, look, God's appointed this, so therefore I begin to do this. I begin to praise and I begin to worship out of who I am, which is described in verse 10. Who I am is described, that's me, verse 10. I've got this life of God. I've been clothed with this. I've got this garment of salvation and so forth. This is me. So out of who I am in Christ, I begin to praise. Then what happens is that praise begins to cause, you know, the buds to begin to come up. The buds of the joy of the Lord. The buds of the relief. The buds of the righteousness that begins to overpower this heaviness and subdue it to the point to where I no longer am dealing with that, but I'm experiencing the fullness of my righteous life in Christ. He has appointed it. So the thing is, if you go to God and you say, oh God, I just need some relief. Oh God, why aren't you helping me? And God says, I have already appointed you. Or I've already helped you with an appointed structure of praise that cannot be torn down. You don't have to believe in it. It's still going to be there. You can deny it. It will still be there. You can teach against it. It will still be there. my teaching against what God has established is not going to tear down what God has established. So I can reject it all I want, and God says, it's still there because I have appointed it to be this way. Look in Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Now I want you to see the process here and see if this kind of describes some of the things that people talk about in all of this brokenheartedness, okay? Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Brother Martin, my life stinks. Everything's going bad. It's been like this for years. Why won't God show up in my life? Why has God forgotten about me? Are you seeing it? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, complaining, fussing, griping, questioning. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. In other words, you never say anything to me. Where are you, O God? But, now look at this. Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Do you see what he's saying here? He's talking about how verses 1 and 2, I felt like trash. I felt like nothing was going right. I felt like my whole life had crumbled around my feet. God's not there. Why, oh God, did you let this happen? Why, oh God, have I had to struggle with this for years? Why, oh God, won't you answer my prayers? Where are you, God, when I need you? On and on it goes. So he's describing what his life was like in verses 1 and 2. Then he comes along in verse 3 and he gives us a revelation. And he says, you know what? Verses 1 and 2 is how I felt before. But I discovered when I begin to praise God, the God that I thought had forgotten me shows up. And he's there and he inhabits my praises. And I know he hasn't forgotten me. And I know he's still there. And I know he's going to comfort me and strengthen me. And not only will he get me through it, but he will set me free. So here you have a lot of people that have gone through this stuff, you know, feeling this way. And he says, here's an answer. I tapped into what God appointed unto me. God appointed praise. And he says, you are holy. You inhabit the praises of Israel. And this phrase, inhabitist, I've shared before about this, that the image it gives is of God being up in heaven. And he hears the praise that's coming forth from those who love him and worship him. I mean, I'm talking about the not just a bunch of words you sing from the neck up. I'm talking about praise and worship that comes from the very depth of your heart. And he hears that and it captures his attention. And the image it gives is of God picking up his throne and bringing it down to earth and setting it smack dab in the middle of all the people that are worshiping him and just sitting there in their midst. He inhabits. He moves in and takes up residence in the midst of the praises of his people. Now, what's interesting, with this in mind, look in Psalm chapter 16. You're going to see a process here. Verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. See that? Alright, now what's it say? We just read how that God inhabits the praises of his people. If he inhabits the praises of his people and the images of him setting up his throne right there in the middle of the people who are praising him. So if he sets up his throne in the middle of the people that are praising him, is he there? Well, sure, he inhabits the praises of his people. Then he turns around right here and says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So if he's there as I'm praising him, and in his presence is fullness of joy, what does that say? That means the more that I praise him, the more his presence will be there. And the more his presence is there, the more I'm going to experience his joy. We'll take that to the next step. In Nehemiah chapter 8. And look here in verse 10. Jump to the end of verse 10. It says, neither be ye sorry or depressed or upset, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Another way to say that, the joy of the Lord will strengthen you with an anointing. So we see that God inhabits the praises of His people, and in His presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. I just don't feel like I can go on anymore. I mean, all these years I've struggled with this. I just can't go on anymore. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord will strengthen you to go on, to make it, to continue. Now, look at this. Psalm chapter 8. And look here in verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hast thou ordained strength? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now turn over to Matthew 21 and see how Jesus referenced this verse. Matthew chapter 21. And you're going to see a complete cycle here. Verse 16. Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? God inhabits the praises of His people. In His presence is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And God has ordained strength out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. And Jesus references it, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. So you've got one big cycle. You praise, you get joy, you get the presence of God, you keep praising. Listen, when you begin to experience the presence of God and the joy of the Lord and the strength that the joy brings, it can stimulate a desire for more praise. It just continues to cycle itself if you get into it. If you get into it. Let me just give you a forewarning. One of the things that Satan's going to fight big time is to get you to stop your praise. He wants to silence your worship. He wants to stop you. This is one of the reasons why some of you come in here. Now listen to me. This is one of the reasons why some of you do not come to the pre-service worship. It's because Satan is silencing your worship. He's been able to blind you to the value of doing this. And it's why some of you, when you come in for our services, you come in with... Now listen, see if I hit this on the head. You come in with this feeling like you don't want to do this. You just don't want to go through all this singing. Just don't want to. What's happening? Satan has fired both barrels at you to rob you of your praise, because he knows. See, he sees it in the realm of the Spirit in a way that we don't. And he knows that when people begin to open up their hearts and begin to praise and worship God, the presence of God begins to inhabit that praise. His presence begins to fill that place. And when His presence begins to fill that place, there is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And our strength is reinforced by our praise. So he's going to do everything he can to stop your praise. And I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but there's a bunch of you, you're playing right into His hand and you're letting Him do it. And this is one of the reasons why you are struggling in life. It's because you will not open your heart and your mouth and release what God has ordained and what God has anointed. Now you better let this sink in. Man, you're just ranting and raving, ranting and raving. I'm not... Yeah, I am. I'm ranting and raving. It's in here. It's in here. It's right here in the Word. It's like I said, I showed you earlier. First passage we opened up with, God has appointed it and He has anointed it. Now, you don't have to do it, but it's not going to change what He has appointed and anointed. It's still there. So I guess it's really up to you. Do you want more of what God has to offer? And if you do, then praise and worship is a way to do this. Let's look in some more passages. Look in Isaiah chapter 30.
Well, if God wants me to praise and worship, I'll do it.
No, you won't. Because He's already said in His Word He wants you to. What more do you want? Isaiah chapter 30. And look here in verses 29 through 32. And ye shall have a song, as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And The Lord shall cause His glorious voice to be heard. Now stop. We just read earlier that God inhabits the praises of His people, right? Here in verse 29, what are we seeing? People beginning to praise God, beginning to worship God. What do we see next? And the Lord shall cause His glorious voice to be heard. And shall show the lightning down of His arm with the indignation of His anger and with the flame of a devouring fire with scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down which smote with a rod. Now what does it say in Psalm? That God has ordained strength or praise out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Why? To still the avenger and the enemy. See that? Well, you're seeing this process played out right here in Isaiah. Okay, we have verse 29, people coming before Him, praising Him and worshiping and playing the instruments to praise Him. And then, as they do that, God begins to inhabit and His voice begins to go forth and His glory begins to be released. Why? For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian, the enemy, be beaten down which smote with a rod. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. In other words, what he's saying is, you want me to get involved with your battle? You want me to get involved in helping you fight off the enemy? Then open your mouths and start praising me and start worshiping me, and the Assyrian of depression is going to be driven from your presence. I will take up the standard with you when you begin to praise me. That's what he's saying right here in this passage. And I'm telling you right now, one of the greatest things in the world would be if people would begin to praise, if people would begin to worship, if people would begin to give their hearts over to God out of their praise and out of their worship, then God's going to be able to move on their behalf in a way they've never experienced before. You know, I've taught on praise and worship before. Two other series on praise and worship. People that are depressed, going through struggles because struggling financially. I need answers. I need help. Well, have you ever thought maybe that the Assyrian of financial struggles could be driven out of your life if you begin to praise and you begin to worship God? Have you ever thought that whatever it is that's brought the feelings of brokenness on the inside could be driven out of your presence if you begin to worship God based upon what He said in here? All right, look at another place. Look in Psalm chapter 42. And here in Psalm chapter 42, take a look first off in verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, which kept holy day. When I remember what things? What God's done for me. Who He is. Now, I'm not going to go through this entire verse or this entire chapter, but in the next verse he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. And in verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. A moment ago it was the help, and now it's the health. In other words, we're seeing healing being released as I begin to praise the Lord, as I begin to worship Him. Yet I will praise Him. Why are you cast down, soul? My spirit is catching on to this. Why are you going through depression? Why are you letting brokenness control you? No, we're not going to have this. I am going to praise the Lord. I am going to worship the Lord. I am going to give Him glory. And out of this, the help, the healing that I need is going to be released into my life. And I will experience it. Look in Isaiah 35. Take a look here what God has to say. It says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Now the imagery here is that something bad is being turned to something good. Okay? It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord in excellence and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Now stop right here. We're thinking in verse 5 about physical blindness and physical deafness. I want you to think of an inner blindness and an inner deafness, because Christians who are struggling with depression and brokenness are also struggling with an inner blindness and an inner deafness, because I've encountered some that no matter what you say to them, they do not hear it. They hear the words, but they do not hear the message, and they do not receive what you're saying to them. I can't take anymore. Okay, well, here's what God has to say about that. Yeah, I know that, but I just can't take anymore. But here's what God has to say about that. Yeah, I know, but I just can't take anymore. Yeah, but here's what God... And over and over and over it goes. And he's saying, listen, if you will listen to me, verse 4, then the blindness and the deafness will be removed. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Now again, symbolically relative to this teaching series, there are many Christians who have been rendered lame because of depression. Their legs have been knocked out from underneath them, and they're laying right there going nowhere with God. Oh, they're born again now. We're not talking about loss of salvation. They're born again. But their legs have been taken out, and down they go. And they're lame because of the brokenness, because of the depression. And in verse 7 he says, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. All right, what's the imagery here in verses 6 and 7? A total restoration. What did Jesus say? That if we accept Him as Lord and Savior, God's intention is that out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. But you understand, you can build a dam to the rivers of living water by being locked up with depression and brokenness. And in verse 9, or in verse 8, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast. The devil comes as what? As a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. No lion, no ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Are you seeing a total transformation in all of this? And, now look here, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, how? With songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, with sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So he's saying, look, all this stuff's going to happen. Here's the intention of God, a complete change from barrenness, from loss, from lameness, from all of this, a complete change from that condition over into conditions, a condition that I desire for your life. And he says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Shall return from what? From this place of brokenness, from this place of loss, from this place of depression. How are you going to do this? How am I going to return and get back to Zion? Here's how. With songs and everlasting joy upon your head, you shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. All of that junk on the inside, you begin to praise Him, you begin to worship Him, and it begins driving all that stuff out. And God's intention for you as a believer, you begin to experience a greater flow of the rivers of living water, a greater flow of His presence, a greater awareness of His mercy and His grace, a greater awareness of His love. And He says, lift up your hands, begin to sing, begin to praise me, open up your mouth, begin to worship me, begin to release out of your spirit that which has been there the whole time. But I want to show you a great contrast. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. What happens and what shouldn't happen. Or what shouldn't happen and what ought to happen. Ephesians chapter 5. Now look here in verse 18. Look at the first part of this. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. One of the reasons a lot of people get drunk is to do what? Forget. Now I never drank to forget. I just drank to drink, you know. And any reason you drink is stupid. But a lot of people drink to forget. To forget what? Their problems. Do you know that depression is one of the greatest motivators toward alcohol consumption? I just don't want to be depressed anymore. I'm tired of living this way. I'm talking about Christians. You would be shocked. Maybe not. I don't know. But there are a lot of Christians who ease the pain with alcohol. In other words, what they're doing is trying to treat an emotional issue, depression, brokenness, whatever, with the effect of alcohol. But that's not all they use. They will also use the drugs given to them via prescription by their therapist. The drugs that they give you in therapy, it's nothing more than a variation of alcohol. You're boozing up your senses with a different drug. Alcohol is a drug. I mean, it's classified as a drug medically. When you use pills to ease the pain of depression, it's nothing more than a variation of boozing up your senses.
Well, I take issue with that, Brother Martin.
What? Then stop taking the pills.
Well, if I do, I start feeling lousy again.
Bingo. My point exactly. You're taking the pills to try to feel better. I'm pointing you to a Christ who is anointed to heal you. Now, dude, the choice is yours. You can live like this the rest of your life if you want. You go to heaven, but you're going to miss out on an incredible level of joy and strength that praise and worship and the anointing of God can bring in your life. And don't get mad at me about this. Don't get mad at me about this. Don't fuss at me about this. You show me in Scripture where God has given permission to seek anything other than what He offers for healing and deliverance. I'm sorry, but it's not in there. And I'm not trying to be mean. What I'm trying to tell you guys is a better way. And God is offering a better way. Why wouldn't you want it? Why continue being a statistic on the insurance actuaries? Why be like that? Why not tap into all of I'm showing you in God's Word and experience a healing? Why would you not want that? And He says here, let me rephrase this here. Don't deal with brokenness, depression, anxiety, and loss with man-made substances, because this is excess.
What do you mean, excess?
The only way that you're going to feel the effect of the wine or the drugs is to take enough for the drugs or the wine or the alcohol to impact you. That's the only way. But be filled with the Spirit. How simple is that?
Well, okay, Brother Martin, I'll give this some thought. What's one way that I can be filled with the Spirit?
Well, look at what he's talking about here in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves. Speaking to who? Not your neighbor. Yourselves. Speaking to yourselves. Or with your mouth, openly declaring to yourselves psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's your praise and worship. What is an opposite to man-made substances impacting your mind? Listen, the alcohol and the drugs, you know what they do? They create a chemical imbalance in your brain. So how do you figure that? Well, what kind of an effect do they have on you? Think about it. They alter your mood. They alter your mood. You want a way to really alter your mood? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody unto the Lord in your heart. He's saying there is a better way than a man-made substance, and that is a spiritually produced substance of praise and worship. Hey, listen. You guys, you need to pray for me, because there's a lot of Christians out there going to hear this, really going to get honked off, because they like their alternative methods of mood alteration. And I'm saying it doesn't have to be that way because of what God is offering. Look in what you saw here in Philippians 4:19 or 5:19, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Look in Philippians. You saw in Ephesians 5. Now look in Philippians 4. I'll get this right. You're going to see kind of an expanded version of this. And again, we're focusing on praise and worship for this healing. Verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You see that?
Well, I praise and worship the Lord when He wants me to.
Right here it is. Rejoice in the Lord. What more does He have to do?
Well, I want a word from the Lord.
Okay. Yama yama, shamalama ding dong. Interpretation. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What more do you want? Here it is. Your word from God, man. Straight from heaven. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't allow yourself to get over in this area of worry and despair. But in everything, in the midst of the junk, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? It's a form of praise and worship. I thank you, Father. Thank you for what? The problem? No. Thank Him for the anointing that heals. Thank Him for His presence that delivers and strengthens. Thank Him for the joy that empowers. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Okay, well, what happens then? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's your mood-altering substance. There's your change. There's your transformation. Here it is. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, here's the thing. This phrase, keep your hearts, the word keep in here, I've taught on it before, but real briefly. This word keep is a word that was used in conjunction to an action by the military. And the image that it presents is of a highly trained guard. Think in terms of a Navy SEAL or an Army Ranger or a Green Beret or a Rambo or, you know, a Terminator. Or, you know, I'll be back. Just, you know, you got the image, all right? Of a bad to the bone, armed to the teeth, can't be whooped, can't be beaten, soldier standing in front of your heart and mind. And if anything other than that which is ordained of God tries to get in, this thing unloads. This thing takes it apart. It keeps that stuff from getting in. The peace of God that passes all understanding. I don't know how you can be at peace. A lot of people can put on a show of peace, but if there's despair on the inside, broken, sooner or later it's going to show on the outside. And he says, the peace of God will pass. It passes all understanding. It'll guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he has anointed him to heal me. Hallelujah. He's releasing that anointing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah, Jesus, you're worth it. And the emotions are screaming, no, he's not. He's not there. You're a loser. You're depressed. You got a broken heart. Take another pill. Take another swallow. Drink it. Let's go. Feel better. No. I praise you, Jesus. I glorify you. Shut up and go take another pill. Call somebody and complain. No, Jesus, I praise you. And you keep doing this and pretty soon, the battle on the inside, guess who wins? You. Because God's releasing that anointing in you. And you begin to experience the victory. So, alright, we've seen all of what we've seen so far about praise and worship. God's appointed it. He's anointed it. We've seen the contrast of what a lot of people do, what they shouldn't be doing. And God tells you what to do. The praise and the worship. Now let's apply this truth. Number one, you need to be in a worshiping church. There are a lot of churches, let me rephrase this. If a church understands the value of praise and worship, then that church will emphasize praise and worship. Not just singing. The church will emphasize praise and worship. Now in this church, I know there are a lot of people, they just don't get it. They don't understand. We've had people come in, they sit about, you know, 15 minutes into the praise and worship, boom, they're out the door. They don't understand. It's sad. I mean, I feel for them because they're missing what God could do. But because I know what praise and worship can do, and I experience more and more of it all the time, I know this. I know what it will do. I know. If some people would just come in, and even if they don't feel like it, just come in here and sit through the pre-service worship. Just experience what God is doing through everybody else. Okay? Just let Him touch you. I know that change can come. I'm not talking about light on, light off, instantaneous change. It could happen. But I'm talking about it begins to open the door for God to move in your life. Begins to bring about the change. I know it works. I know it does. Number one, because I read about it in the Word of God. And number two, because I applied what I read. And number three, because I experienced what He promised. It works. But you need to be in a worshiping church. You want to experience the fullness of this healing, you need to be in a worshiping church. I've been in churches before. Talk again about what happened last Sunday. You know, the worship team had certain songs ready. And praise God, that's fine. You should. But we begin to worship at the end of the pre-service worship. And listen, it's not mandatory for people to be here for that. But it's beneficial. It's highly beneficial. And, you know, we've been doing this now for a long time. And, you can say what you want. But I'm telling you, the atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere in our services has been changing now. It's been changing. That's because through all this pre-service worship, all the time, all the weeks, and the couple of years that we've been doing this now, whatever the length of time is, it's doing a form, we've talked about it before, it's doing a form of warfare in the realm of the Spirit. And the spiritual atmosphere in here is changing. It's increasing with God's presence. Well, last Sunday, you know, we just began worshiping at the end of the pre-service worship. And man, it just carried over and just carried over and just carried over. Into the praise team never got to the songs that they had prepared. It just carried over and just kept going. Same thing happened on Sunday night. I have been in churches where we got to that point where we were ready to step over into that kind of worship that just carries on and carries on. And then somebody, let's just leave it at somebody, stopped it. And moved in a different direction. It's because they didn't understand. Well, they weren't bad people. They didn't understand what was happening and didn't understand what God was trying to do in that church. And I've seen these things happen before. One of the greatest challenges, I guess you could say, for me and for a praise team, is to know how to flow with the Spirit of God. Because I'm telling you right now, if you don't know how to flow with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit's going to want to lead you in one direction and you'll just go off in this other direction over here. You need to be in a church that understands this kind of worship and you need to take advantage of what is offered. I can remember when I was a kid, I didn't think too much about the beginning of the service because that's just when we sang songs out of the hymnal. Well, here's the thing. If I were to go back to one of those churches now, they don't worship the way that we worship. We're not better than them. They just don't worship the way that we worship. But some of the songs in the hymnal would mean a whole lot more to me now than what they ever did before. And I would, if I knew I was going to one of those churches, I would definitely be there on time to be a part of whatever they sing, just in case they pull out, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Saved, saved by His power divine. Saved, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. I'm saved, saved, saved." Man, I'm telling you what. You can't beat some of those old songs. Well, see, they would mean something different to me now. And when you go to a worshiping church that understands this, man, I'm telling you, take advantage of what is offered. Take advantage of what the church makes available to you in this praise and worship. Because we're talking about a total, complete healing to where never again in your life are you going to fight with that kind of depression that you've been fighting for all these years, that brokenness you've been fighting for months and months and months. We're talking about an anointing that heals and delivers. And not only that, as far as your worshiping church, you need to create a healing atmosphere. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, where are you? Primarily, you're in three places, home, work, car. Out of those three places, most people would find it a real challenge to create a healing atmosphere at work. So that leaves home and car. Now, home and car, you've got control over. Put on some worship music in your car. Put on worship music in the house. Let it play. Just let it play. Just let it play. Just let it play. Create an atmosphere that is conducive for this flow of anointing. You're not going to create an atmosphere for this healing by watching a bunch of junk on television.
I watch Christian television.
Go right ahead, but trust me, a lot of that stuff is not going to create an atmosphere for healing. Not the kind of atmosphere that worship can create. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Talking here about creating this atmosphere of worship. Play the worship music in your car. When I say play the worship music, I'm not talking about... Let me just say something, guys. I'm not an old fogey. Meaning, I enjoy a good guitar riff. All right? But there's a lot of Christian music out there that's not very conducive to creating an atmosphere of inner healing. And I'm just going to tell you, there's a bunch of it out there. It ain't nothing but performance. I'm telling you, I've listened to too many praise and worship CDs to know that some of these people, they're just doing it to put on a show. The words of the songs might be really good, but they're putting on a show. I remember one time I was listening to a Christian, a very, very popular at that time, Christian singer, and he tended to be somewhat edgy on his music with, you know, just very intense rock at times. And the, it was a cassette tape back then. How many of you remember cassette tapes way back in this? Well, I'm listening to this, and, you know, at one point the crowd is cheering and screaming and yelling, and this guy yells out, "Come on, make my ears bleed." And I'm thinking, that's stupid. I mean, that's, you know, go to the Rolling Stones if you want that kind of garbage. You're not pointing anybody to Jesus. Scream so loud my ears bleed. Yeah, right. Scream for who? For Him. The performer. There was no Jesus in that. None. When I talk about music, I'm talking about worship music that creates an atmosphere. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about.
Play me an example.
I don't have to. You know what I'm talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, continuing about creating this atmosphere for this healing. In verse 14 it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then?" Now look here. "I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." Now look. "I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." We talked last time about how that the Holy Spirit is the administrator of the anointing for this healing. And we also know that as we pray, we last week learned how that when we pray in tongues, anointing is released. Well, here he's saying, "I'll sing in tongues as well. I'll sing with the Spirit and I'll sing with the understanding." You're playing the worship music, sing along with it, but then take advantage of the opportunity to sing in tongues as well. And you know what I'm talking about. You guys have been around here long enough. Some of you are still chicken to do that, and I don't understand why. I mean, get over yourself, you know. It's just, you're not that important. We don't care if you're on pitch or not. Just, man, jump in with both feet and have at it. And enjoy the anointing that God wants to release in your life. It's not that, I had to get over me when I figured out that I wasn't, you know, top dog. "Well, you know, I'm cool." Say, no, you're not. Ain't nobody that cool. God doesn't honor cool. Remember, you're the donkey that Jesus is riding in on. Now, talking here about singing in the Spirit and praising and worshiping in tongues. Look in John chapter 16. I want you to see something relative to this. When Jesus is talking here about the Holy Spirit, in verse 13, he says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, he will show you things to come." Now, I want you to stop for a moment and think. If I'm battling depression, battling brokenness on the inside, and I begin to sing in tongues, it says here that the Holy Spirit won't speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that's what he'll speak. So I know that when I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is supplying the language. So if I'm singing in tongues, the Holy Spirit is supplying the song. Okay? Meaning, if I'm singing in tongues, singing in the Spirit, the song he is producing through me is the song I need to sing at that moment. So if I need to sing and worship and praise as far as healing is concerned, and I begin to sing in the Spirit and sing in tongues, you understand that what he's releasing through me is going to be connected to that inner healing. It's going to be connected to that deliverance. He shall glorify me, verse 14, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That means that as I'm singing in tongues, the Holy Spirit through me is glorifying Jesus. And Jesus talks about, you know, him being exalted, him being lifted up, and so on and so forth. So as I'm praying, as I'm praising and singing in tongues, the Holy Spirit is glorifying Jesus through me. And what did God say? He inhabits the praises of his people. Look over in Romans chapter 5. And here in Romans chapter 5, I want you to take a look at another aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So as I'm singing in tongues, as I'm worshiping in the Spirit, I'm helping to create this atmosphere of healing. God's, the love of God is being shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And then over there in 1 John chapter 4:18, it says that perfect love casts out all fear, because fear hath torment. There are a lot of Christians that are afraid to wake up every morning. I don't want to wake up, because when I wake up to brokenness. I wake up to despair. I wake up to depression. I'm afraid to go to sleep at night because I have depressing dreams or whatever. I'm tormented by my dreams. And it's saying here, when I begin to speak in tongues, the Holy Ghost begins to work in my life to shed the love of God abroad. And perfect love, that perfect love that's released into my life, it casts out all fear and the torment that comes with it. Look in Galatians chapter 6. So talking here about this praise and worship and how worship is conducive to bringing about this healing. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, "For he," verse 8, "for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." If you don't quit. If I'm going through depression, if I'm going through brokenness, the one thing I don't need to do is have my radio tuned in to rock music or country music. I don't even need classical music. I need the kind of music that's going to set the atmosphere for my healing. I will be sowing to my spirit. And out of my spirit, I will begin to reap the life everlasting. Meaning, the life everlasting that produces the permanent healing in my life, I will begin to experience. But I can't faint. Or in other words, I can't get frustrated and quit because it didn't happen as soon as I blinked my eyes. I can't get to the place of saying this stuff doesn't work, because it does work. I've shown you in God's Word today that it does work. I have to keep doing it. I have to keep doing it. You remember that movie a long time ago? Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come. Well, if you praise, the healing will come. You can't avoid it. In other words, you begin to worship and you begin to praise God, you cannot outrun this healing. It will capture you, wrap its arms around you, and set you free. And that cloud will dispel. The weight that you have felt will lift. The healing will replace all that junk.
Yeah, but Brother Martin, I got a heavy, heavy question for you. What if all this depression is a devil?
It's not a problem. Where in the Bible does it say that devils don't listen to Christians? Tell it to leave. Cast it out. Tell it to go.
But Brother Martin...
No, don't butt on me. Cast it out. Tell it to leave. Now let me just tell you something. If you've been struggling with depression and brokenness, you know, for any length of time, I can pretty well guarantee you there's a devil involved somewhere.
Well, how do you figure that?
Here's how. Anytime the devil sees anything of his having what he would term a successful impact on your life, trust me, he'll be there to enforce it. I'm not saying you're demon-possessed. What I'm saying is, There's something that wants to keep you depressed and broken. Just take a stand. Just say, in Jesus' name, go. In Jesus' name, you spirit of depression, you spirit of brokenness, go. I am not your temple. My house is not your habitation. My life is not your comfort zone. In Jesus' name, go. And never return again. Now, you still need to do these things that I've shared. You know, confessing the word and so forth, and the praying in the Spirit, and all the worship. You need to do that. But to get a deeper understanding about this whole thing as far as the devils are concerned, I've got two teaching series. Series number 149 that is entitled Dominion Over Devils, and series 171, which is titled Can a Christian Have a Demon? You need to get those two series and listen to those in great detail. Listen closely concerning this whole thing of demons. But very simply, just tell them to go. Tell them to depart from you, that they have no place in your life, that you're a child of God. Remind them, I'm born again. I have the life of God on the inside of me, not you. I'm in charge, not you. You're under the feet of Jesus. I'm the body of Christ. You're under my feet. Jesus is the name that is above every name. I've been given the authority to use the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, go, leave, be gone, don't come back. Very simple. Very simple. And the Bible says not to give place to the devil. How do you give place to the devil? By sitting and thinking about all the junk after Scripture says, whatever things are lovely and pure and so on, think on these things. Don't give place. Take your stand. And if you do this, I'm telling you guys, I'm telling you, if you follow what I've shown you in this series, applying what God's Word has said, you will experience that anointing that will heal the brokenhearted. See, a lot of times people would think that if you can just get in the healing line and have an anointed preacher pray, in Jesus' name, depression, go. Well, that can work, but only to a certain extent. Because when you leave, whatever the issues were, whatever the events were in your life that brought about this condition of brokenness, you still have to deal with that. Because nobody can change past events. This series is about how to deal with it, how to conquer it, how to get it out of your life and live free. This is what God wants for you. Now, if you're here today and you've been struggling with brokenness, I want you to know that I, as a minister, do not have all the answers. I have shared with you answers that have come from God. What I've shared with you in this series, these aren't my answers. They're God's answers for what He wants to do for you. Now, if you choose not to apply these things that I've shared with you from the Word of God, I want you to know something. I'm still committed to pray for you. I am still committed to be there for you. But one of the things that I'll pray is that God will move on you so that like a hunger begins to rise up on the inside of you to really get into what God's Word has to say, what I pointed out to you from Scripture relative to this healing that God wants to perform in your life. Complete and total. Think of it like this. God sent Jesus for us to be restored back into fellowship with Him. He wants us to get back to that place to where we fit into His original plan as revealed in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Now we know that we're born again and so forth. The glorified bodies, that type of perfection is coming. But until then, we have God's life in us like Adam had God's life in him. And there in the Garden of Eden, before Adam sinned, there was no depression. There was no brokenness. There was no anguish. There was no loss. There was only the pure perfection of everything that God desired. And that is what God wants to do in your life concerning all this stuff. Let Him work this work in you. Let Him release this anointing. and you will experience the permanent healing. Praise God.